How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, please stand up and raise it above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Look around, if you will. Look around. You know, the presence of the Word of God is the power that's on this place. And through His Word, we'll be able to see Him today. He'll reveal Himself through His Word. You may be seated. I have several places I would like you to turn today. The message that the Lord had laid on my heart. The first place is 1 John chapter 5. Near the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 5. We'll stay with the things that John wrote, and then we'll go back to the book of John chapter 16. 1 John 5 and John 16. When you find your place, say, I have it. Now I would like to read to you the last place I want you to turn, since you have those other places, and this would be the book of Matthew, chapter 28, last chapter in the book of Matthew. I want to start with this verse. When you're ready, say, I'm ready.
Ready.
In Matthew 28, Jesus said this, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We just sang, go tell it on the mountain. And that is what Jesus was commanding us to do. Go tell it on the mountain. And today, I want us to consider what we're actually telling. I want us to consider what we're going out in the world and we're telling people about Christmas. What we're showing people about Christmas, we make the comment often that the world just doesn't understand Christmas. It's become so commercialized. It's something that comes and goes and it happens so quickly and people are busy and they need to look at us. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus and I want us to be able to see what exactly we're going and telling by our actions. So turn to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, I want to read this one verse. In this one verse, John is giving us a truth. Listen to this truth. He says, And we know that the Son of God, who is the Son of God? Should be capitalized in your Bible, capital S, Son of God is come. When did He come? We celebrate it now. When did He come? Thank you. Thank you. When did He come? Christmas. This is a week before Christmas. Surely we're on that same page, right? And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. Do you see that? Know Him that is true. Now, there are a lot of famous people in the world that you see on TV. And you say, when you see them, I know who that is. But do you really know them? And this know is stated as a point of having intimate knowledge that we may know Him. That is true. And next truth, and we are in Him. That is true. John speaking to Christians here. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. I want you to see here there's an important word. It's a conjunction. It comes near the end of this verse. It says, where He says, this is the true God and eternal life. And is important here. By Jesus coming, we know two things stated in this verse. We know God, because Jesus was God in the flesh that came. And we know eternal life, meaning that we have the opportunity to spend eternal life with Him. He's stating a praise here. The fact that we know God and we have eternal life. We celebrate Christmas because it's when God sent His Son to this earth to live a life and then die for our sins so that we could be saved from our sins. And be with God. Emmanuel. We use that word because it was used in our word here. Meaning God with us. We celebrate this here at Christmas time, and sometimes I think we send out a confusing message. We tell people we're celebrating Christmas. That's God with us. At the same time, we're like everyone else as Christians. We hit this joyous time of year where we celebrate that Jesus came, and then we don't hit it again until we get to next year. And we say, we love Christmas, and what is Christmas about? It's when Jesus came, and we're telling that to the world. And the world can celebrate that also. You see, we celebrate the Advent. The Advent, by definition, is the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event, the coming, the arrival. And we celebrate that Jesus came, our Savior came. He came to save us from our sins. He came to give us love and joy and hope and peace. And then we celebrate Passion Week at Easter. Jesus, the perfect lamb, was sacrificed on the cross. He was the Passover lamb, and that's what we celebrate. He was sacrificed to take away our sins so that we can have eternal life in heaven with God. If you agree with any of those things, you can agree right now. Both of these things should be celebrated, so don't get me wrong. By all means, they should be celebrated. But if we're just celebrating what God did through Jesus 2,000 years ago, and then we focus our praise on the fact that of what Jesus is going to do when our life here is over, then we're missing what God is doing through Jesus right now. You see, we say at Christmas, He came. We say at Easter, He died for us so that we can be with Him in heaven for all of eternity. Both of these things should be celebrated, but if we're just celebrating the beginning and the ending, aren't we missing the middle? You see, the middle is what we're living in right now. And for the world that's watching us as Christians, they see us celebrating the beginning, and then they hear us talking about the ending, but they're needing something right now. And not just them, we need something right now. Why do you think there is the epidemic that we've been talking about for years and years in church? Well, people just, they don't celebrate Christmas anymore, and they've lost the meaning, and they don't celebrate the way they should, and it's commercialized. And why would that be? That's because they're watching how we're celebrating it. You see, we're living in the middle right now. We celebrate what God has done. We celebrate what He is going to do. What about what He's doing now? Is it any wonder that others that watch Christmas aren't interested in coming to God? They're just interested in what comes along with Christmas. They're just interested in the presence. It's that temporary joy that we can have. Oh, I love this time of year. Everybody is giving. Everybody is loving. Everybody is doing these kind things. And I see, you know, the news is quick to put on their station now. They'll label it good news. That's bad when you have to point it out. You ever see that on your news channel? Hey, some good news. They know, right? They're saying good news, but we still want you to stay tuned, right? Good news. Somebody is doing something unselfish. Let's run a story about it. And they should. It's good news. It happens. They have the Christmas spirit. You know, that spirit that lets us celebrate that Jesus came 2,000 years ago and that we're going to be in heaven with Him. But you see, they're representing sacrificial things. And I want you to see, well, this same joy, this love that's shown, this peace of knowing something, this hope in what we're going to be able to have one day, it's available now. You see, they don't see us celebrating and worshiping a God that we have now. They see us doing a historical reference. You see, the advent of Jesus is the coming of Jesus to this earth as a baby in Bethlehem, who would live a sinless life and die a sacrificial death. And why? So that we could have our sins forgiven. You see, we celebrate His coming at Christmas, but sometimes we celebrate it by saying Jesus came in Bethlehem to be the Savior, to save us from our sins, and He died on the cross and was buried and resurrected so that we can be saved from our sins and be able to spend eternity in heaven and not hell. And you say, that's exactly what we say. We say that, but we don't say anything about right now. Nothing wrong with that statement, don't get me wrong, but when you're sharing that with somebody, you're saying, hey, we're celebrating Christmas because, hey, way back in history, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, and way forward, when something happens to you, you can be with Him. Well, let me tell you, your mind on an average day doesn't go way back, and it doesn't go way forward. It goes right now. It's dealing with what you're dealing with right now. Does that make sense? I'm just saying. So we wonder why this has happened, and it's happened because we've fallen into this. You see, we celebrate that Jesus came, but in our mind, he's came and gone. And we'll see him again some other day. And you say, not in my mind. So in our mind, we celebrated Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. It was the coming of the promised Messiah, the Savior. And then we focus on the end of our lives here on earth, whether it's that we die and we go to heaven to be with him, or he appears in that eastern sky and we're raptured and we get to be with him. All of those things definitely, definitely should be a point of praise. But when you miss the middle, the reason that we're not seeing more people come to salvation knowledge in Jesus Christ, the reason that we're not more excited on an everyday basis, the reason that we're not walking with him in that close fellowship is because our mind is always going to something that happened a long time ago and something that's going to happen. And Jesus wants you to have a relationship with him today.
Amen.
He wants you to celebrate that he came, but he wants you to celebrate that he stayed. You hear what I'm saying? We have this mindset that the only way that I could describe it, I thought, what is this mindset? What label could I put on it? And it's the Bethlehem heaven mentality. The Bethlehem heaven mentality. And isn't that what we portray most of the time? We're trying to tell somebody and we get to this point, we even tell our children, hey, Jesus came in Bethlehem and one day you get to go to heaven. Bethlehem, heaven. Do you realize that's on two polar opposite ends of your life? What's in the middle? Your life. And so people choose, hey, I believe that happened. I believe it's going to happen. But right now I've got some bigger issues. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah.
Right? Anybody in here guilty of that? A confession of guilt opens your heart to be able to have the Holy Spirit talk to you. So what I would ask you is, what about now? You see, we talk about his first coming. We talk about the end of our lives here on earth when we get to be in heaven. We talk about how great it is to know that we'll be a companion with Jesus in heaven, and it'll be wonderful. What about now? Are we just people who celebrate what happened 2,000 years ago and what's going to happen in the future? Are we forgetting what we have now? You see, Jesus didn't come just on Christmas and leave. Jesus came to stay. I want you to read John 16 with me. I told you to turn there. I want you to see how Jesus explained this to his disciples. Bear in mind, Jesus at this point was telling his disciples, I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to go. But I want you to see in this passage of Scripture that Jesus was actually telling them, not I'm going to leave, but he was telling them, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to stay. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to stay. Tell the person beside of you, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to stay. How in the world do you do that? Well, Jesus was trying to explain it, and the disciples didn't understand it either. So listen, we have the benefit of the Holy Scriptures today to let us be able to see. You see, he was telling his disciples that his physical presence was leaving, but he was sending his spiritual presence. This is John chapter 16, beginning verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither you goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Do you see how important that is? Jesus is saying the Comforter, being the Counselor, that should be in your Bible. You should be able to see that when the Comforter is there, the Counselor is there, that's capitalized because it's another proper name of God, of the Holy Spirit. And understand, God manifests himself in three ways: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So that's a proper name of God. And Jesus is saying, If I don't go, then he can't come. You say, well, still Jesus is going. Read with me. Nevertheless, I tell you, verse 7, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove, that's convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, this is the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is it that he says unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. Again, a little while, you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Stop there a second. They weren't getting it. Jesus was trying to tell them, but the mind doesn't get that. I'm going away, but I'm coming. I'm going away, but I'm coming. I'm going away, but I'm staying. What is this he's saying? A little while I'm going to leave, a little while. That's exactly what they're saying. They're being like we would be. But they're not saying it out loud in front of him. They've turned to the side and they're like, hey, you understand what he's saying? I don't understand what he's saying. He's saying a little while he's going to go. And I know I'm supposed to be understanding this, but I'm just not getting it. Listen. Verily, verily, verse 20. I say unto you, you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And you now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Did you hear that? He said, your joy no man taketh from you. And then if you go back up, you will see in verse 20, he says, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, this is when Jesus was leaving, not when he was coming that we're celebrating in Bethlehem, because we talk about the joy to the world that came. He's talking about the joy that you're going to have when he goes. Why don't we ever talk about that? Did you just hear it? Do you hear what he said at the end? He said, your joy that you're going to have when I go, no man can take from you. Do you realize Jesus was telling them, the joy that I'm bringing you by walking beside of you for these 3 years here while we're discipling, they're going to kill me, and you're going to have sorrow. Your joy will be taken away. Do you realize that we can have joy in a person that we have here on the earth, but when they're taking away that physical presence of a person, that joy is taken away, right? He's saying, I'm going to give you something on the inside of you that is with you all the time that no one can take away. You see, joy to the world didn't just come when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Joy to the world came when Jesus left this earth and the Holy Spirit came. That's what he's trying to tell us. Why? Because he knows that 2,000 years ago, we'll forget about that joy in our everyday problem. And all these years from now, do you know that a lot of times we'll forget about the joy we're going to have when we're going to be with him? He's talking about a joy that we can have when?
Right now.
So I want you to understand, when we're celebrating Christmas, so many times we bottle it up to the joy that was back then and the joy that's way in the future. People need to see that we have a joy right now, not that we turn it on and turn it off at Christmas time, not that we just celebrate it at that particular time. In verses 13 through 15, he told them that his spiritual presence would guide them. His spiritual presence will do everything for them that they experience with him physically being with them. This is huge. He was telling them that even though he was going away, he was actually going to stay. He was saying, I will be more real to you. then than I am now, because I'll be able to have a personal, intimate relationship with each and every one of you. You will understand me. A little while, you shall not see me again. A little while, you shall see me because I go to my Father. We can see they didn't understand what he was saying. And he used this scenario of a woman in labor. Oh, a woman in labor. There's great sorrow. There's great anguish that's there. I know from the years of pastoring when to visit and when not to visit. I either visit right when they go in or right after the epidural. I'm not crazy. I've been in there at the wrong time before, right? Why? Because there's sorrow. But do you know that after the child is born, oh, it's not a bad time. Why? Because the baby's there. And all that sorrow. I mean, unless it's just a mother with a selfish mentality that wants to focus on the anguish, they're focusing on the joy, right? Yeah, it was hard, but that's behind me, right? What Jesus is saying, there's going to be a time when my physical presence leaves and you're going to be in sorrow. But man, when my spiritual presence comes to you, there's going to be joy. And we read Acts 2 when that Spirit came upon them, right? Wasn't there joy? Didn't the church begin? Didn't they go out and do things they never thought they could do? Then they had the blessings of God on them at all times. That's what comes with the inner presence, the spiritual presence of Jesus Christ. He didn't just come 2,000 years ago to give us joy that something was going to happen. And he didn't just tell us to celebrate something in the future that we're hoping is going to happen and we're trusting is going to happen. He said, celebrate the presence you have right now. He said, when I go back to the Father, you're going to have sadness because you're not in my presence, but then you're going to have joy that no one can take from you because my presence is actually going to indwell you. You see, people see our joy at Christmas. We talk about the joy that we have in Jesus coming, and we should. By all means, don't leave here today and think, Pastor told us not to be celebrating Christmas. You've missed it. What I'm telling you is that there's a joy that we can have on an everyday basis, knowing that Jesus is with us every second, every day in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that needs to be included in our praise of Christmas. We don't need to jump from Jesus came in Bethlehem to be born so that he could die for us and we could go to heaven. You're missing the middle. Who wants to pick up on that? You know, who wants to pick up on it? What lost person is saying, that's great that we've got this, and yeah, I look forward to that. Right now, I've got these things going on, and I need something to happen in my life right now. Now, I want you to think about what we read first in Matthew 28. Do you still have your place there? I want you to think about what Jesus said before he ascended back into heaven after his resurrection. Think about it. See, he had the disciples assembled here in Galilee. He went back to the disciples. He was getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he gathered them together. And he said this, and think about it. Hey guys, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Why? Because Jesus came and did what the Father asked him to do. You see, it's about the Father's love to us. And he sent a sacrifice for us. And Jesus was obedient to do whatever. And so God said, hey, all power has been given unto you. He became the Son of God who was able to have the power that the Father bestowed upon him, especially the power over your lives and my lives because he died for us. Listen to verses 16 through 20 of Matthew 28. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now listen to the command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is our go tell it on the mountain verse, right? I didn't know what you were going to pick out this morning, but that's the go tell it on the mountain, right? What does that mean? That means he's saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Everything that I've said to you guys, I want you to go out and tell it on the mountain, on the hills, in the streets, in the highways, in the hedges, in the byways. He said, I want you to go and tell it. I want you to go and represent me. He was ascending into heaven saying, I'm leaving. But notice the end of this, and you may not have ever picked this up, but it became just a beacon light to me when I was reading it. This stood out, and I thought, how in the world? How in the world can we look at it any other way? This was one of the last things that Jesus told them in Matthew's gospel. He says, and lo, I am with you how often?
Always.
But he was leaving, right? Wasn't he leaving?
Yes.
But he was telling them, I'm with you when?
Always.
So what was he saying? I'm leaving, but I'm staying. I'm leaving, but I'm staying. I'm leaving. My physical presence is leaving. But my spiritual presence, it's going to be here.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yes.
Don't sorrow. I'm sending you out to talk about all the things that I told you while I was here, but you're not going alone.
Amen.
Your spiritual presence is going to be with me. Listen, at Christmas time, what am I celebrating? I'm not just celebrating the birth of Christ. I'm celebrating a relationship that I have with God through Jesus Christ. Yes, he was born 2,000 years ago. He died on a cross. He ascended into heaven, but he is with me, living in my heart, and I never walk alone. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one that says, come to me when your labor are heavy laden. He's the one that says, I am with you always.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
What can I celebrate at Christmas? Not that a child was born, not that sometime later I'll get to be with that child, but that child was the Son of God and he loved me enough to die for me. And then he said, I'll be with you.
Amen.
I'm just saying we need to get the whole story out there. I'm not just praising God for what he did and what he's going to do. I'm praising him for what he's doing right now. Amen. This is what we need to see. Jesus definitely did come. God sent his son to live on this earth to be the presence of God on this earth with us. And we should celebrate this. The Bible tells us that in Matthew 1:23, we read this story last week. And as Joseph realized the angel, the angel said, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? Somebody tell me. Tell me again. God with us. Jesus came. God with us. So that mean, does that mean that he's not Emmanuel to me since I wasn't in that group of 12 that walked with him? Since I wasn't in that crowd of 5,000 that got fed by the loaves and fishes? Since I wasn't there to see him heal that cripple and that lame? Since I wasn't there to see his physical presence, I guess this doesn't apply to me, right? No, it applies to me. You see the logic in that statement, the spiritual logic? Listen, he's our Emmanuel. None of you, me included, I never saw him physically. I never walked with him physically. Does that mean he's not God with me? No. He came to be God with us. So how could he be God with us if he left? And I'm going to see him again. What about this life? He is Emmanuel in this life. The Bible says, yes, he came. And in John 1:14, the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about Jesus. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man, and that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. It's giving us a total look at Jesus. Where he was with God. Where he came to heaven, he came to earth to live as God in the flesh. God gave himself. And in verse 14, it says, and the Word, listen, and the Word became flesh. That's Bethlehem, right?
Yes.
And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His presence came. And he lived a sinless life. Why? Because I couldn't. Because you couldn't. He died a sacrificial death. Why? Because I couldn't. There's nothing I could do to have my sins taken away. But Jesus Christ loved me and he loved you. So there had to be a physical presence. That's why he's called the Son of Man, the Son of God. He had to be born of a woman so that he was all man. He had to be born of God. That's why he's the Son of God. It took someone living in flesh and blood to be able not to sin, to be the sacrifice, so that they could, so that that person could pay for our sins. The only person that could ever do it was Jesus. But it wasn't just something that Jesus couldn't fail at. You get what I'm saying? God didn't write this story. Jesus had to carry out his part. That is why he continually said, I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father that sent me. He said, these are not my words. These are the words of my Father. He continually told them, you look at me and I'm the Son of God. He always gave reverence to the Father. He said, this is the Father's plan. The Father manifested this. The Father started all this. The Father loves you. The Father wants you to be with him. I'm just carrying out the Father's purpose. Why? Because there was a possibility that Jesus could have sinned. Hold on. You say there's no possibility. If there was no possibility, then it wouldn't have been a sacrificial death. He sacrificed doing the things that we have failed doing so that he could die for us. Glory to God. He didn't just, and I say this all the time, you know, and this is huge to me. It changed my life whenever it became something I think about all the time. When I'm telling somebody or witnessing somebody, I've changed the way, you know, the last years, I've just changed the witnessing even that I'm doing to somebody. I'm not just telling them that he died for me. I'm telling them that he lived for me. Amen. He lived a sinless life for me. Why? So that I could use his sacrifice. And if you're here today or you're listening today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his sinless life. The only way that you could come to God, because God has no sin. And if we have sin, we are stopped from getting to God. In the same way, God gave us a picture in the Old Testament. He said that there is a curtain between his presence and us. And there has to be a sacrifice made for us to come into his presence. And that was just a picture of things to come. He said it was a shadow of things to come. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. He became a lamb without spot or blemish. We were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, right? So he was the lamb that was given unto us. Why? So that we could say we knew somebody that lived 2,000 years ago, because we know somebody that history says no. So that we could enjoy his presence right now. He is not just Emmanuel to those that were written in the Bible. He's Emmanuel to us. He's God with us. He's the presence of God with us. That's what he was trying to explain in John 16. Lo, I am with you always. John 16 said, I'm leaving, but the Comforter's coming. My presence is staying. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible tells us that he did what God told him to do. And this life on this earth, he summed it up in Luke 19 when they were giving him criticism about being able to love on sinners. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Later on, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
That's right.
He said, I've got a mission here. Jesus gave a sinless life as a sacrifice for our sins. And, you know, we quote John 3:16 a lot, and we should. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We need to celebrate the fact that Jesus gave his life for us as a sacrifice to save us from the penalty of our sins and give us eternal life. So I'm not taking that away. If you leave here today and said, Pastor told us not to celebrate the birth of Jesus and not to celebrate our eternal life in heaven, you have missed it today. I'm not saying don't celebrate that. I'm saying celebrate it in a better way by being able to say I'm living with it right now.
Hallelujah.
What we need to see is that if we're just celebrating the coming of Jesus, then we're celebrating the fact that at the end of our lives, we're going to be in heaven instead of hell. We're missing a key point of the praise. We're missing that He's with us always right now. We're missing the point that Jesus didn't just come to give us the presence of God with us. He stays with us. Lo, I'm with you always. How long? Even until the end of what? End of the world. Always is definitive. This was something He was telling His disciples right before He ascended. And you may say, you know, Pastor, I want to point out something to you. I want to show you something that you may have missed. You see, I know He came, but I know He left. He went back to heaven. He sits on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. I can show you in Scripture where He's there. So you're saying He stayed. I know He left. I want to tell you that you're right about that. He does sit on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. The glorified body of Jesus ascended back into heaven, and He does sit on the right hand of God the Father, but the presence of Jesus Christ stayed right here with us, and He's still right here with us, and He will stay with us until the end of the world. Remember, He told His disciples, I'm with you always unto the end of the world. Understand, He sits on the right hand of God making intercession for us, but He makes intercession through the Holy Spirit, as we are told in the Word. The Holy Spirit even knows our groanings. Our prayers are taken by the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ, who sits on the right hand of God the Father. So His presence is with us. See, we're known to celebrate when He came, and we had the presence of God with us. And that's why we use that word Emmanuel so often during this time. But I'm telling you, Emmanuel is appropriate for February and March and April and May and June. Amen. And we're known to praise God for our eternal life in heaven when we stand in the presence of God, but we leave out this praise that we can live with every day. Jesus said, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Again, I think we have fallen prey to having this Bethlehem heaven mentality. But we leave out the thing that we need to be showing the most, and that's that He's with us now. I think it affects our witness. I think it affects the power even of this season, where we're telling somebody that we need to turn on this Christmas spirit, and then we pick up that same person later on when we're telling them, yes, but you know what? This person is in heaven. Well, that person is not thinking about their past, and they're not thinking about so far in the future. They're thinking about, do I need God right now, and where is He? And God has promised us, you can have my presence with you now. God has always wanted us to have His presence. I'm here to tell you that He pointed it out in the Old Testament, and He told them, listen, you need to have my presence with you. I tell you what, I'm going to make it visible for you, and my presence is going to lie here in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. It's going to be the most powerful thing that you have. You treat it right because it represents my presence. It's got to be made right. It's got to be carried right. And I want you to know that it is the most sacred thing that you have. And when they didn't see it as sacred and it left their presence, the blessings left their presence. When it came back to them, the blessings came back to them. His presence was important. When the children of Israel left Egypt, He said His presence could be seen in a guiding way as a light by day and a cloud by night. And a cloud by day and a fire by night. His presence is always something that He wants us to be able to experience. His presence came to this earth at Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But I want you to know He came, but His presence stayed.
Amen.
That's something that we need to celebrate. We're not just giving the world a history lesson and a prophecy lesson about the future. They're going through things where they need something to happen in their life right now. History is not concerning them, and their future is too far away. You say, well, are you saying not to say anything about it? No, don't miss it again. I'm saying that's part of the conversation, but don't miss the presence of God that can be with somebody right now.
Amen.
And it's not just about us saying it. If they see us living it, then our walking, living testimony is showing them, hey, we're just dwelling on something that happened and something that's going to happen. He said, go, tell them what I've told you. What did He tell them? Lo, I'm with you always. You can have me now. I'm going to leave, but the Spirit is going to come and it's going to guide you. It's the presence of God. We don't give enough credit to the Holy Spirit, do we? It's this invisible thing that's out there. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, I think the Holy Spirit told me this. Holy Spirit is the presence of God that lives within inside of you. Amen. Jesus actually stated, you're going to do better with that than you were with me here with you. Why? It's going to indwell you. It's in you. I in you. What did Jesus pray in John 17? Father, let them be in me. And I in you, us in you, you and us. Look at his prayer. What is he saying? I want them to know I didn't leave. I'm getting ready to die on the cross, but let it be to where they see me in you. Let them listen to me knowing, hey, it's me leading them. It's me guiding them. Let them accept me, not the picture of me that walked on this earth, not this story, a historical thing, not the promise of something that's going to happen. Let me be in them and I in you and they in you. That's big. I want you to think about it. For anybody watching us live like this, they're being told that we need to celebrate something that happened 2,000 years ago and that we should celebrate it because it affects something that's going to affect something that's going to affect something that's going to affect something in their future. At that point, they've checked out. Can you see that? But we're failing to show them the benefits of living with the presence of God living in us right now. In a world that's concerned with right now, why aren't we celebrating the presence of God that came to Bethlehem and then stayed? Why aren't we celebrating the presence that stayed? Where did it stay? Well, it stayed in the hearts of those that believe. Why aren't we focusing on the fact that Jesus came and then said, I'm with you always? Why aren't we focusing on the fact that he'll never leave us or forsake us? Why aren't we focusing on the continual fellowship that God wants to give us through an everyday basis, an everyday relationship with him? Why aren't we focusing on that? Why aren't we telling people that we celebrate Christmas because the presence of God came to this earth in Bethlehem to give us an opportunity to have his presence with us every single day? I think the psalmist summed it up in an awesome way in Psalms 46:1. Listen to Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength. Listen. A very present help in time of trouble. Anybody in here been in trouble?
Amen.
Don't raise your hand, but there's some of you in trouble right now. Most of us are in trouble right now. If you're living in this earth, you're living in a time of trouble, right? Jesus said, in this life, in this world, you will have tribulations. But he said, I've overcome the world, right? The psalmist said, he is our very present help in time of trouble. You know what that means? Our every present. That means right now. He's our help right now. Not our help that came 2,000 years ago that we just get stuck on that. Not our help that's going to be with us when we're walking with him in heaven. He's our very present help right now. I can celebrate him because today, praise God. I watched this morning and I looked out that window up in the office when that sky began to turn red. That sun hadn't even come up yet. And I thought to myself, there's nobody in the world that can stop it because God started it already. You know, there's nobody that can stop. You could pass any amendment. You could do whatever you want to. You could have the most power. They can't stop the sun coming. And he does it every single day.
Amen.
I looked out the other day, yesterday, when I was up there, and I saw that leaf trickle from the tree. And I thought, praise God. He knew when that leaf was going to fall. He knew when the bud came on that tree. He's put everyone on there, everyone off of there. He knows what has to happen at all these times. He orchestrates those things. But get this, and yet he's telling me that he wants to talk to me right now.
Hallelujah.
That I'm something to him.
Thank you.
That happened because he became flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus Christ. It gave us the opportunity to accept God and have his presence. But it gave us the opportunity to have his presence right now. You see, what we need to know at Christmas is that, yes, Jesus came, glory to God. But he didn't come and go. He came and stayed. Amen. I'm that ever-present help. The presence of God came to this earth and dwelt with mankind when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We shouldn't just have this Bethlehem heaven mentality. We should say, Jesus came, praise God. And we should say, Jesus stayed,
amen.
Praise God.
Praise.
He came and he stayed. And that's what I praise him for today. I'm not just looking back at some biblical history lesson. I'm looking at a real Savior that lives in me. And I have no idea why. I can't fathom why God loves me. There is nothing in this world that God couldn't do without me. Right? I celebrate things in life just like you do. And I see, hey, what's the great celebration? I celebrate when my child is born and comes into this earth. But do you realize that's only a temporary joy? Me and my child aren't going to be together forever. Not on this earth. I don't mean to bring you down. I want you to see the temporary nature of relationships.
That's right.
But guess what? I don't celebrate that part the most. I celebrate the joy that he gives me, the permanent joy that he gives me in knowing that my child had an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not just that he was born. That's temporary joy. You see, there's something that transcends this earth. The physical doesn't transcend. The spiritual transcends.
That's right.
We have to be given a whole new physical body just to get to heaven. Understand something. When we start celebrating the presence of God in us, the people around us will understand the joy of Christmas a lot better. But in order for that to happen, we need to realize it. I hope today his words let you realize it. If you're a Christian here today, you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know in his word he tells you that he's a very present help. But you tend to think about what he's done way back then, what he's going to do. But you're not walking with him now. Well, you've accepted the Lord and you believe those things. But you're not using his help. He sees that. He sees that even during this time, it's been reduced to a season of just different events and things you're supposed to do and places to go, and you're not even feeling Christmas anymore. Listen, you can feel Christmas just by knowing you have the presence of God inside of you, Christian. That Jesus did came, and that was the beginning of the presence being able to get inside of us. He came, but he didn't leave. But if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand something. He loves you.
Amen.
He wants to indwell you.
Yes.
He didn't come and leave and then come back. He came and stayed. And the glorified Jesus is coming back one day to gather us.
Yes.
We will be with him forever, and I praise God for that. But my testimony has to be the joy you see of me knowing his presence is with me now. And if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have his presence with you. I am sorry. I don't want to paint it like a lot of these other places are going to paint it to you. When you go in there and they tell you that if you're born, you're just born a child of God and that God loves us all and no matter what, that you're with God. That's not the truth. You have to accept him. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He says, then you shall be saved. It tells you with your heart you believe, with your mouth you confess. There has to be a time where you make a commitment to God and come to him to be able to accept Jesus. And at that time, his presence comes inside of you.
Hallelujah.
The presence of Jesus Christ, the same one that walked on the water, the same one that fed the 5,000, the same one that stood adversity and stood for God, that same power comes upon you. He says, hey, Acts 1:8. He says the power of God is going to come on you when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that'll enable you to be witnesses for me. you realize we have the presence, right?
Yes. Thank
you. Is your joy this morning just based on something you celebrate every year that happened all these years ago? Or is your celebration based on the joy that you have knowing you have a present relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for the time you've given us this morning. I pray, God, that your word continues to go out. And I pray, God, that if there's anyone listening today, anyone that's here today that's never accepted the gift of salvation you've given through Jesus Christ, Lord, let them see you love them. You want them, Lord, to receive your presence. I thank you for what you've done. I praise you, God, for sending yourself in the flesh in Jesus Christ to this earth. I praise you, God, for the sacrifice made for me and for everyone else that's listening. And if there's someone here that's never truly accepted that, give them a boldness today just to come forward during this time and, Lord, cry out to you and accept the salvation you give through Jesus. But Lord, for Christians all over this room today, Lord, going into this season, let us be able to see something we haven't seen before. Let your presence, Lord, flow out of us and be that light that shines in the world. Let others see you in us. I pray, God, that you would bring it to our mind and bring it to our heart. And as your children bow before you today, I pray that you would overcome them, Lord, and that you would change our lives as, Lord, people recommit themselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.